Hi, family. I'm an addict. My name is Frank. And I'm clean by the grace of God in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. With that, I'm truly grateful. My home group is Recovery in Lakeland. It's on the west side in the Free State region. We meet on Saturday night at 8 o'clock. I'm an active member in standing. And I'm truly, truly grateful to participate in my home group and to be a member of my home group. I'm not there right now tonight, but in spirit, my spirit was there tonight, you know, and I share that because of consistency and of commitment to Narcotics Anonymous and to my recovery. They shuffled me around yesterday with this topic, and like, no, for me, is a hard, hard word to accept. But I have the ability to say no in recovery, and I have the ability to, times and situations to say no, I'm not available to do things. In my last year, I'm just gonna like share about a little bit of the touch on no for me. I know that God don't make no junk. You know, I've said no a lot when I've wanted to say yes, clean, many, many situations. And a lot of situations where I've wanted to say yes, but end up saying no, is when I've stood for something. But see, low self-esteem has allowed me to like settle for a lot of things in recovery and not have the ability to stand for something and say no, and have the ability to walk away from either a situation where I know in my heart and in my conscience that I was aligned with God's will, and I just didn't have the ability to say no and have some faith in a situation that might have been going on in my recovery. It was odd because I got clean in this region, and I love this convention. This is my 10th convention here. In a row. Something that came to mind yesterday when the program committee asked me to do this topic was that no matter what, do not use. And that's a sentence in itself that I've had the ability to take to heart since I've been clean. And I haven't used since my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And no matter what has happened in my recovery in this journey, whether it be blessings from lessons or whether it's been pain, no matter what, I haven't used. But the individual that I am and my vocabulary with no is a very, very hard thing to surrender to because it's my way or the highway. And, like, to have to deflate my ego and, like, get honest and vulnerable and ask for help when I don't want to is very hard for me. I am, like, a guy who is very rebellious, who will go to any length, especially in pain, until I have the ability to surrender. Okay? Hardcore active addiction to get clean and say, no, I cannot use anymore was real hard for me. Real hard for me to admit defeat, to like surrender in the rooms and like cold turkey. Get clean, stay clean, and no matter what, do not use. And like have to change some living skills, people, places, and things to do the things that like I was so comfortable with doing and believing in was very hard for me because like they told me in meetings, shut up. No, Frank, this is not how it works. This is how it works. Frank, you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. I rebelled. And thank God that, like, experienced members and members in this fellowship have allowed me to go through my pain. You know, have not denied me my pain. Sometimes it takes me a whole lot of ability and a long, long journey for me to surrender. It's just like, I like to like take it to the fullest length. Some people would say, look, you need to jump off the train now. But for me, it's just like, I just keep going and going and going. And like, no for me, it, like I still rebel against that word, man. Because like when I hear no, I hear maybe. And like when I hear no, I say, well, that means yes. But in a couple days, I have a selective thinking. It's deluded. It's very deluded. Even with Tom Clean, the disease of addiction is more crispier than it's ever been. And it tells me and it allows me sometimes to even hear the messages and not go right on the statement with no means no. Okay. But when I hear no, I hear rejection. I hear that I'm not good enough. Okay, I don't know what tapes tell you that, but I hear abandonment. I hear less than. I hear not good enough. I hear never being successful in life. I hear I'm not going to make it. I hear, why don't you take yourself off the count? Why don't you just kill yourself clean? Why don't you isolate? I hear nothing but negativity, self-negative talk when I hear no. I hear not good enough. And what I do with them with them words is that I shame myself. And when I shame myself, I hurt myself. I am my worst critic. I can hurt myself better than anybody can. And even when it's something that's coming from me that I still don't believe in today. And look, it just took me a whole lot of courage to tell myself and to love myself and like myself. And there happens to be a process in my recovery that some days and some months and some years just haven't been like at its highest peak. This last year, just for myself, I've done a lot of work on myself and I still happen to still settle. And I still happen to, no, I ain't gonna say I'm a victim, but I still volunteer and I still do things on self-will. And I get the check of it. And I get the check in the mail and it's the consequences and it's pain. Because letting go is hard. Letting go is very hard. No, for me, like I said, I hear rejection. And then when I hear rejection, them tapes and the disease comes louder than ever. And I don't hear that wait. I don't hear patience. I don't hear tolerance. I don't hear acceptance. Because acceptance, I don't know about anybody else. The first piece that I had to accept was that I, no matter what, I cannot use. That I had to accept, I had to get rid of my reservations. Because like early in recovery, my storm started happening. And like, I didn't want to accept like my mom just died when I had 92 days clean. I didn't want to accept that. You know, I just like didn't want to like show up anymore. And I was just like ready to check out Narcotics Anonymous real quick. And a lot of people said no. They just said, Frank, just hold on tight. You do not have to use. So there have been a lot of situations where the word no has applied itself in my life, and it's been like, look, no, you can't see the kids this week. No, you can't have it your way, Frank. You need to change your ways because your ways bring you nothing but jails and institutions and active addiction, and it brings you a lot of pain in your life. And it took me a long time to accept that word because, like, I don't know about you. I'm a self-centered addict. I want what I want when I want it. I don't like standing in line. Okay? I'm talking about myself. I don't like the process sometimes because, in the process is slow. I want immediate benefits of the process and of the work. You know, and, like, sometimes it's like, no, Frank, you need to just sit still. You need to just sit still and allow the process to take its course. No is a complete sentence. And after that, I still don't want... Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like this topic. I want a question mark. I want to, like, wonder what's behind the period. And it's a period. It's just like a dead end street. But for some reason, because I'm an addict, I want to fiend something through it and get through it. And then finally it's like, yeah, there's the solution. But there's no solution. It's just God. And a lot of times my acceptance, peace or no, happens to be better than what I want. Because really what I want is most likely not good enough for me. And it's going to hurt me. You know, it's took me a lot of acceptance to accept that word no. Because like I was a little boy who wanted everything. When you told me no, I couldn't come over and play with you, there was something going on. Look, the first time that I said no and I felt the pain from was having sex. Because, like, look, I didn't want to have sex. I did it because my friend did it in the fort. Look, I said no, but nobody heard that. Nobody heard that. I heard it, and I felt the pain from it. No, but there was times in my life where I had the ability to say no and stood for that and, like, was able to walk on. Look, like when I got clean, I seen people that I still use with. They said, come on, Frank, let's go get high. Come on, NA's not this thing for you. Come on, man. And I had the ability for that moment to just say no. And was I had the ability to walk away with, like, some integrity and some perseverance and some confidence in myself. Look, I don't know about anybody else. I lift my head from shame to grace. And it took me a lot of work to be able to share that from my heart. Because, like, when I get up in the morning, and, like, I do go to my knees. And when I lift my head up, man, that's the moment that when I lift my head up, hey, look, I've got to try to keep it up and show up and suit up for the best day in life. And some days are, like, really, really hard. Some days, it's just like holding my head up is a full-time job. Full-time job. I'm used to looking at the ground. I ain't going to stand here and insult this group here, my friends here, that, like, yeah, I walk around, my head's up right now. It's not. I'm in some confusion. I'm in some, like, fear. I'm in a situation in my life where no, to me, in the last couple months, have been nothing but rejection. It's been something that's been real hard for me to accept right now. Because, like, look, a dream has, like, come to an end. I'm talking about my dream. Has come to an end at this moment. And it's like, I'm just, like, trying to kill the fantasy. I'm trying to accept the situation and accept no. And that, hey, look, that this door is closing and one's getting ready to open. You know, because, like, look, I'm just, like, still showing up. Every day in my life, I'm sharing. You know, it's like, look, I had somebody tell me, think yesterday, oh, you know something, Frank? You keep talking about that, you're going to end up losing friends. And fuck them counterfeit friends. I don't care about them. I really don't. My friends have been there for me, man. They have been there. And an honest sharing, an honest message rings true. The honest message is that, yeah, I've been going through the storm and having to accept this peace, man, and having to accept rejection. But you know some rejection right now, and I know it is God's protection right now for me. But I don't, it's hard. It's hard to believe that. But see, God's been put God's powerful wisdom and tools between me and someone else. And just saying, look, I got you, and I'm holding on to you, but you need to surrender. You need to accept what's happening right now in your recovery. Because, like, I was outside, and I was talking to my sponsor, and we were praying, and I took this piece that I'm in right now, and I looked back at getting clean. Because, like, when I got clean, and the mother of my children told me, said, look, you're not seeing your three children no more. What hit me? Abandonment. What hit me? Loss. What hit me? It went back to the first day I was born. My real mom left me on the hospital bed when I was a day old. So look, it goes back to the first day. It goes back from day one. And then it measures itself all the way up into today. So like, it's just like, I don't know about anybody else. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about like, I call it the family origin. I call like getting in touch with like who I am, this child of God, this little boy who started, that's becoming a man. Look, it's a whole lot of work in being a man. And some days I cannot share with you and insult you that I'm a man 24 hours a day because I deal with the adolescent. And then my adolescent don't like no. My adolescent don't want to hear that in its vocabulary. Right? And you know something? I come to believe that today that no for me is probably the most sacred tool that's being shared with me to let me know that Frank, you're going down the wrong street. That there's something better for you. Accept what's coming to you as a good thing. Because, like, I'm the kind of kid who wants to put his hand in the fire a couple times. Even after no's been said to me 1,000 times. Even after people that love me have told me, no, Frank, don't go there. Please don't go there. Please don't go there. You know, it's hard for me to accept what's going on in my life right now. It just is, man. It truly is. Look, I didn't think this was a part of the script. Okay? Because check this out, man. I did not imagine standing clean today with 9 years and 2 months, right? And like having another child come into my life. Look, I don't want to be a weekend parent. No, I don't. It ain't about like Frankie's coming off child support in 2 years and another one's coming on. 7 traditions, I'm fully self-supported. Man, that's been an issue in itself. No, I didn't want to pay child support when I got clean. I've been paying it, and it's been up and down, and then it's been consistent for 9 years. It works out. Why? It talks about it in the 9th step. I had to make the arrangements, because they come looking for you. So, like, in the 9th step, like, no, I ain't want to, but today I do, because it's going in the right place for the right reasons. If it's going up her nose, I don't care, but it's going. Wherever it's going. So, like, it ain't about, like, putting another one on. And lately, no's been a bitch in my life. Because I want to write the script and the outcome of the situation that I'm in. And a lot of my friends know that. And so, look, my process of surrender has been like, I've surrendered, but then I pick back up quick. I don't stay at that deep, deep level of surrender with a quietness and a peacefulness. I don't know, but like I've been in a storm and it's like I'll ride the storm out and damn, I feel like the disease has one little hook that pulls me back in and then pulls me back out again. Doreen always talks about having faith in the midst of the storm and I'll rock through it a little bit and then I'll rock back out. And just when things get real quiet and peaceful and I'm laughing again. But I'm laughing at my insanity. That's when I know I'm healing. When I got the ability to check myself and discover where I've been and the insanity that I've been in, and I start laughing about myself, that's when I seriously know that I'm starting to grow. Because laughter is a gift from God. And I know that, and a lot of people know me and know me and my character, know that I love to laugh. I love to cut up. I love to, like, just, like, be happy, joyous, and free. But it's not like that all the time. I have the choice to be happy. And I'm starting to find my happiness through, like, doing an inventory of the volunteering myself in the insanity that I've been in. You know, but, like, a lot of people have been saying, Frank, this is you've learned something. I don't want to accept that piece that I've learned something. Because, like, sooner or later, I got to come out of the grip and in the group and share it with the group what I've learned. I've learned so far in the last couple months, do not use no matter what. I've learned that you beautiful people in Narcotics Anonymous will love me till I love myself again. You know that no matter what, do not use. You know, and lately that's where I'm at in my recovery. It ain't a lot of deep shit. It's just like real simple. For me, but like acceptance and no has been real hard for me because, like, I don't know about you, it takes me way back. It takes me back to a place where I shame myself and I hurt myself for a long time. I've allowed self-negative talk, the most powerful voice of my disease, do the most powerful hurting in my life. And it's brought me to a level to where, I don't know about you, the only reason why I use is because I don't like myself. The only reason I put harm to myself is because I don't like myself. And I can identify with the addict in recovery who's hurting herself today with clean time, who's taking the razor blades to their arms. Look, I haven't walked in your shoes, but if I can help somebody right now, this given moment, and have an ability to tell you that I love you. Because we do have addicts in the rooms who are self... Somebody give me the big word. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And that's an issue in here because look, I can do that without the razor blade on how I'm living. I can do that in my own skin without the razor blade or a weapon or a tool of any sort. So like I'm learning and trying my best to love myself. And I'm letting people, you people in, people outside the rooms to just look. I'm asking you with humbleness and humility. I need your help. I cannot do this alone. I cannot do this alone. My ego ain't that big. I'm not going to sit here and insult no one in a meeting. Especially with the amount of clean time that I have that I got it going on. No, I don't. But I got the tools and some weapons in here that, look, I'm battling it. I'm not using just for the day. I'm trying to love. Look, I woke up this morning, I looked in the mirror, I said, I love you, Frank. I love you. And Aziz popped in with the big voice. No, you don't. But I told myself again, I love you, Frank. I love you. You know, so I don't know about you, but it's real hard sometimes to really stand on no and like being able to walk away from whatever situation it be, not being wishy-washy and being confident. Being very confident in yourself. I can tell you within a matter of a couple minutes what I like and don't like. It doesn't take me 25 minutes to like figure them things out. You know, but just for myself, it's just been so hard. It's been so hard to deal with what's in front of me right now. The script that it is, I'm just like, God, turn the script around quick. Get me to the other side quick. Quick. Allow me to be content with or without a partner, with or without financial success, with or without seeking approval from others. I don't know. That's just where I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get to the knowledge of God's will and having the power to carry God's will out in my life. Because like right now, where I'm at, the disease is working against me because it doesn't want me to build character. See, this is nothing but a growing experience here because, like, I don't know about anybody, I'm sure a lot of us have come out of relationships and a lot of us want to fix with the outside, don't matter what it is to fix, to fill the void. So I'm trying to fix it with build my character right now. 6 and 7 step. Build my character because that's the one that's going to count. That's the one that when I'm on the other side, I can look back and say, look, Frank, while you were in the storm, you had the ability to do the work for it. For your character, and you had the ability to go through the storm and not hurt yourself or hurt others, because hurt people hurt people, and that's where the paycheck's going to pay up in. Because I don't want to like be on the other side of the storm, still be in pain and owe all kinds of amends, and be in a corner with a whole lot of defects that I can't get out of the corner with, and be jeopardizing myself. Because like that relapse starts a long time ago, and it can start at any given moment, just for the day. It can. When I don't be honest and I don't be vulnerable and I don't bring it to the group and let you know that, look, no for me is a bitch. Because I want yes all the time. So, like, I want to thank the program committee for asking me to share and truly that God woke me up today and gave my first breath of fresh air. I keep coming back.
No further ado, I give you honey.
Okay. All right, family, I'm Honey and I'm an addict. And it is truly, truly by the grace of God, people like you in rooms like these, that I stand here clean and I don't take that lightly. I am, I live in Forestville, Maryland. I claim Washington, D.C. as my home, lived there most of my life, and my home group is in Washington, D.C. area. It's the Friday night Trust Gay NA. It meets every Friday night at the MCC Church on 5th and Riggs Northwest. It's all regardless of sexual identity. All people are welcome to that group, and I encourage you, if you're in the area, come on down here sometimes and attend our meeting. I 1978, I found myself in New Orleans on Bourbon Street, and I was hanging off the lamppost like that little man that you buy. Everybody gets that little statue. And I really like Bourbon. I like Louisiana because you can, you know, buy liquor, and the only rule is it has to be in a plastic cup. You can't walk down the street with glass. And so I'd never experienced that before. So I started at one end of Bourbon Street, and I walk up to a little, hand it out the window, and you buy the half pint, you pour it in the cup. And by the time I got to the next corner, I'd get another cup, another cup, and another cup, in and out of clubs. And it was myself and a girlfriend of mine. And we found ourselves about two blocks off Bourbon Street, and we stumbled into a Greek bar. And the bar was full of these sailors from Greece. And it was about 40 sailors, about three women, and here we go into this bar. And these sailors had been at sea for about 6 weeks. 6 weeks. Of course, they welcomed us to their table, and we sat down. And they said, you want a bottle of wine? And we said, yeah. They said, what do you drink? Wine. And they, what they do is they buy you a bottle. Everybody had a bottle of wine. So the sailor said to me, you like to ride on my ship? And I said, no. He says, yeah, you ride on my ship. And I said, no. He says, in Greece, no means yes. And I said, well, wait a minute. Is that the same as rock of your boat? And he says, no. And I said, yes. And before the night was over, I didn't know no from yes, yes from no. I was in the middle of the circle doing the little dance with the men around the circle, and I rode his ship, and I rocked his boat. And I never forgot that no meant yes to these sailors, and there was no such word as no. They said there was no such word in the Greek language. No meant yes. Many years later, I still get confused when I think no, do I mean yes? Yes, do I mean no? One thing I do know for certain is that, depending upon the situation, no has worked like no, hell no, no maybe so, no if you promise me, well, what about uh-uh? Well, if you don't do that no more, if you do it this way the next time, and before it's over, my no's have always meant yes, you know? Fast forward in recovery. St. Luke's Church, I had about a year clean or so. Carmelita was my sponsor. And I remember, no matter where I would go after a meeting, I ended up taking somebody home. I didn't care if it was a block in my direction or 20 miles outside of my direction. Somebody would come up. It was like I wore a tag saying taxi. And they would say, honey, give me a ride home. And inside of me, I'd say, no. And I'd say, well, all right, you know. And I'd give people rides home, and they could live in Baltimore. And they had never had a damn problem asking you for a ride home. If the thing is, are you stupid enough to just do that, you know, over and over again. And one night, I was tired. Meeting's over at 9:30, and it's 9:45, and I live like 10 minutes from the meeting. And someone said, honey, can I get a ride home? And I said, well, yeah. I said, I'll go out Pensacola. Well, what, I'm in Maryland. I said, well, all right. And we got in, you know, she got in the car, and we rode. She said, I'll put gas in the car. I said, well, all right. She lived on the other side of Columbia. She, you know, and I was so mad and so angry. And then when she got out, I never forgot that. When she got out the car, she gave me that quick hug, that sideways fellowship hug, and was out the car, and I didn't have to fight. Yeah, that's how I was in the streets, by the way. Stupid. You know, no dope, no nothing, no $5. And she was gone. I went home, and I called my sponsor that night. And I said, Dipper, shit, I'm tired of giving people rides home. She said, well, just tell them no. She said, honey, if you can't tell them no, if you have the inability to tell people no, tell them that I said no. And I don't have no damn problem telling them no. And for the first couple years in recovery, I told people, my sponsor said no. And it worked. I swear it worked. No one ever questioned me if I said, I'd love to give you a ride home. Damn, my sponsor said no, you know. That's after, at first I would say, well, I can't give you a ride home because I had to qualify it at first. I could never just say no. If I said no, I had to qualify it, you know, because I really want you to like me, and I really want to be accepted by you, and I want to be every damn body's friend and okay with everybody. So what I would tell people would be, well, I have a problem going home at night, and my sponsor, I have to check in at all. And this is pre-cell phones and all that shit. So, you know, I had to check in from home. And my sponsor says, I better call her within 15 minutes at the end of this meeting, and I better be calling her from home because I don't know how to go home at night. And that's what I told people at first. I can't take you home. Man, I'd love to take you home. But Dipper said, I got to call her. I got to call at 9:45. Oh, I'm running late. You know, and then pretty soon, a little bit later, I was able to just tell people no. You know, just no. Not no because, not no, comma, however, not no, colon, semicolon, not no, maybe. Just no. I like to say that I can do that all the time. I can't. But the times that I do say no and really walk away, you know it ain't bad. It ain't a bad damn feeling to just say, you know what? No. And walk away. And then you want to look back over your shoulder and say, I wonder what they're thinking and what they're saying, you know. But it's no big deal because I know in my heart I'm becoming a good person. I ain't never really been a bad person. I did some bad things. You know, I did some bad things. But I've been told by people that I respect, love, and care for, who respect, love, and care for me, honey, you're a good person. So today when I can walk, look you in the face, walk away, and you ask me for something, and I say no, I know that I have a reason why I've said no, and I have nothing to worry about. Today, I'm learning to like me a little bit more than worrying about whether or not you like me. Love me a little bit more than worrying about you loving me. Play with me a little bit more so I ain't got to worry about you playing with me. Entertain me a little bit more so I don't have to depend on your entertainment. Respect me a little bit more, and you can or cannot, will or will not respect me. And I don't have some of the issues I used to have. I don't have to worry about no, you know, no, however. No, maybe so. No, if you will. And then ultimately saying, yes, okay, this time, you know, but no more. This is the last time, I promise you, no more. no, I'm not going to do that again. Walking away feeling like a piece of shit just because I had the inability. I was not capable of telling you when I meant it in my heart. You know, I wanted to say no about leaving this meeting tonight. Let me talk about that. Let me talk about me leading this 10:30 meeting every Saturday night since I've been coming to this convention. You know, well, it's getting better. It was the marathon meeting at 1 and 2, and I graduated. This is my 10th year coming here, too. Then I graduated up, and I think I had the midnight meeting a couple of years ago. And for the last couple of years, or 3 years maybe, last couple of years, it's been the 10:30 meeting. When the jazz is in the background, you know, and everybody, and all them people who hit me with the service, they're all in the jazz show, you know. Well, honey, it's service. You got to give of yourself, honey. You know, the newcomer, you know, who can't go to the jazz show or be in the meeting and this and that, and everyone who kind of put they in the jazz show, you know. And I'm leading the 10:30 meeting, and my gut said to Shirley T, no. But then here I go. I said, this is the last time. Shirley got me this time. This is the last time they're going to get me with this 10:30 meeting. Next year, I'm going to say no, you know. But I do pick and choose my battles. And I do know that when it's good for me, then, hey, I pick and choose my battles. I have no problem. I get over it and I get through it because ultimately I'm the beneficiary of it. When I'm being used and abused, you know, then I get disgusted and mistrusted. I hate you. You hate me. I don't give a damn about you. You don't give a damn about me. And guess what? If I tell you no, you get over it. You go to the next person. You're a master of asking until you get what you want. I'm thinking I'm special. All these people in the room, you come up and ask me for the favor. I'm so damn special. And I say no, saying, damn, I know I should. I know they hurt. I look around before I can get the O off of no. You done asked the next person and gone on about your damn business. Got what you wanted anyway. You know, when I was a kid, I suffered a lot from that little wanting people to like me. I was a little skinny girl, born in California, lived a few years in West Virginia, ended up in D.C., and I wanted to be liked so bad. The only thing I knew about no at that time was parents told you no, and you said why, and they said, because I said so. And then the parent told you to do something, and you said no, and you got shit knocked out of. So no wasn't for me. No was for everybody else but me. I couldn't say no. And then I learned that people could manipulate, and I could manipulate by doing what I thought you wanted me to do for you. If I felt no and I had candy, you wouldn't like me. But if I gave you the candy, though I didn't want to share it with you, you would be my friend, you would play with me, and you would like me. When I got older, and I had some booty, and I didn't want to give it to you, you didn't want me. But if I gave it to you, and it was good, you'd like me, and you'd keep coming back. And usually they did. You know, they did, you know. When I was using, if I had drugs and I wanted your company, I'd share it. And you'd keep coming back. Hello, duh. You know, when I ran out of money and I ran out of drugs and you asked me for some and I said no, you didn't even wait for me to say, well, wait a minute, I can go no. There went my friends and there went all my buddies. And once again, I was lonely. You know, so I learned that if I always had something and I was always willing to share and give up something, then I'd always have people around me and I wouldn't be alone. I would have what I thought were my friends. Since I've been in recovery and I've done a little work on myself and I'm real slow with it, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I don't rock with this program and I don't shout with it. I can't swing from the mountaintops. You may not you may not, you know, when it's over with, you know, and you may not just open up and hear all those cute little words and the slang. But I'm going to tell you, I've done some damn work on myself, you know. Next Tuesday, I'll be 47 years old. May 18th, I know God's willing. I just hope the creek don't rise. You know, I'll celebrate 11 years in this fellowship. I've been an active, participating member of Knot College for 9 years. I'll help a newcomer. I'll help a newcomer once. I'll help a newcomer twice. Then I'm gonna pray for that newcomer. You know, I'm gonna pray for him and hope the prayers help you a little bit, you know. But what I cannot do and what I'm not willing to do today is sacrifice myself, my respect, my clean time, or anything else for any individual that's mama, daddy, brothers, sisters, lovers, friends. I'm not willing to give up anything just to please. You know, I've lost some buddies, and that's okay. I've gained some friends. You know, I've stood for a few things that I was not able to stand for years ago. I've gained a pound. I'm glowing. I look good. I feel good. I smell good. I mean what I say. I say what I mean. And I don't have a whole lot of people in my life. I ain't busy with people. You know, I have friends. We have things in common. And generally, it's not other people. We have activities. We share. And we do fun things. If a friend asks me for something, and I say, damn, I wish I could do it, but I can't. You know what? They don't even think twice about it. I don't have to qualify it. I don't have to tell them why. Because they know me well enough to know that if honey can do it, she'll do it. That's the good feeling today. You know, and I don't have the fakeness in my life as much as possible. I can go on and on. It's late this evening. Maybe somebody wants to share. Well, maybe we'll y'all say no. In any event, listen, thanks for coming out. It is late. I appreciate you. I love you. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the convention. Thanks.
You got a mic, my problem's Bob. Does anyone like to share? Anybody? You're going the wrong way. I've got a hell no, or maybe so.
I'm back, name Norman.
Come on up here.
I'm an addict named Norman. I guess it's by no coincidence that I attended this workshop here tonight. Truthfully, I came because Frankie's a good friend of mine, and I wanted to hear him share. But no is a very important part of my life today. For the longest time, I would not accept it. No was just not in my vocabulary whatsoever. I couldn't say no, and I wouldn't accept no. And it wasn't until recently that I had to learn to change that. Some things started happening in my life, and I started to take some suggestions for the first time since I've been in recovery. And I had to tell some people no, and I had to stick to that. And they were people in my family, and it was suggested that I not go around them. And when they would call me up and ask me to come over, I would just have to tell them no. And still today, I have to do that sometimes, and it is difficult. There's another part of my life where I'm hearing no. And there was a time, especially in active addiction, where no meant maybe, and eventually it was going to mean yes to you, because I was that persistent. Today, when I hear no, I know it's for a reason. And I'm not always privileged to know what that reason is. And I do find that if I do not question why I'm being told no, I eventually feel better about the situation. It's been real difficult for me to really express myself with my sponsor lately and with, you know, my network and my home group. Because something's happening. It's, you know, I am changing. And by taking suggestions for the first time in my life, I'm finding that my thought pattern is really shut down a lot. Something I was never able to do. And that as I really look more into my life, that is what I saw it through most of the drugs that I put in me, was just to shut down that thought pattern, that mind, man. It would never turn off before. And now it comes very easily. It's through prayer. It definitely is. I know for a fact that without the God of my understanding, I wouldn't be where I am today. And where I am today has nothing to do with my job or any material things. It has to do with being comfortable with myself. That's what I always sought. It's really all I ever wanted, was to be able to accept myself. What I did in active addiction, I am responsible for, but I do not have to dwell on what happened. I've paid the price, and I can continue to beat myself up, and at times the disease wants me to, but today I'm able just to turn that over and to realize that for the most part, I invited that insanity into my life because I became addicted to insanity with or without drugs. There had to be confusion in my life. There had to be turmoil. There had to be some type of action going on. Today, I look forward to those moments that I can go to my house by myself without a radio, a television, looking out a window, and just sit there in that peace and enjoy the relationship that I'm developing with my higher power. That is what I really sought. I was real blessed to be brought up in a family where a higher power was always talked about. That was theirs. And through the grace of God, by Him allowing me to live this long, I've been able to find a God of my understanding. And I truly believe that it's only through the God of my understanding that today I can accept no. And it's real important to me because it has, you know, it's led me down some paths that a lot of us have been on, and we know the consequences of not taking no for an answer. But I want to thank Frankie and honey. It was really good, Frankie. I love you. I got a lot of your message. Thank you. Thanks for asking me to share. Thanks for letting me share.
No is a complete sentence. Anybody else? We got about 20 minutes. Let's help somebody. You can share where you are. Come on. Don't make no difference if you're coming in. Welcome. Keep coming back.
I'm an addict named Janice.
Hey, Janice.
And I really liked, out of all the workshops that I've gone to, and I did get here on Friday for the whole convention, out of all the workshops I've been to, I think this one was the one where I really, really got a lot out of the different perspectives with the speakers that they put together. Because what we got was somebody talking about how they felt when somebody told them no, and then somebody telling me how they felt when they told somebody else no. And that's really important because I get both sides. You know what I mean? Because for me, all I knew before was the disease side. And I come in here and you guys are telling me about like the recovery side. And something that occurred to me was no matter how many times I don't accept no, God will tell me no. You can tell me no and I won't listen, but God tells me. And there's like actual times in my life where, you know, God has said, you're not doing it, period. Last day I tried to kill myself. God said, nope, I don't think so. You know, I didn't think I'd have enough money to come to this convention. And I really, really, really wanted to. And I said, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then I took a look at my bills and I was like, nah, because I was on my third step and God was saying, you know, I don't think it's really my will. I heard him. He was telling me, it's not my will for you to skip rent to go to a convention. You know? And then I meet this guy. And he's talking to me about it through work. That was really cool. I love it when that happens with somebody I don't know. You know, I see them and we get to talk, and it turns out they're in the program too. And I'm all excited because he said, oh, you don't have the money. Don't worry about it. I'll pay for it. And I call my sponsor. She's like, what do you need that for? And I tell her, and she's like, well, you can stay with me. And if you had come to me in the first place and explained to me what was going on, you would see that you've got the money and it doesn't cost that much. You know what I mean? So what I needed to do was open my mouth and ask for help. And the help that I need, I'll get. It's almost never what I want. That's how I know. When I don't want to go to a meeting and I say no, I know I have to go. Things like that. And for me, another thing that was really hard with the first step, because I came around for 2 months and I wasn't an addict, and then I called my sponsor and argued with her for 40 minutes the first time I talked to her about how I wasn't an addict, but I wanted a sponsor. I wanted to work the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. She says to me, work the first step, out of the step working guide, and by the time you're done, you'll know. And in the process of doing this, I didn't want to accept. I knew I was an addict, and I wouldn't believe it. And there is a difference. I absolutely would not let myself believe that. And I would do things like say, no, today I don't want to use a drug. But you'd find me in a bar. You'd find me around the people, places, and things that you guys were telling me, don't go there. You know, so today what I do is when I say no, I don't know what I got from what you guys said was if I say no, I have to make sure I'm saying no for the right reasons. And I think about when God has said no and when God has said yes, you know, because most of the time if I'm saying something that's a short sentence and it's real complete like that, I don't know. I just totally lost my train of thought. I don't know where I'm going. Which is usually God saying, all right, you're said enough. So, thanks for letting me share.
I'm not going to say another word. Hey, is.
Hello, family. I'm addict, amen. Amen. Truly, by the grace of God, I'm here. I'm real thankful to be here. No means no, right? Excuse me? Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about that. You know, when I ask you something and you say no, and if I can't accept that, then I really wasn't asking you, was I? I was telling you. So a lot of times, you know, no has a lot to do with codependency. You know, I won't say no because I'm afraid of what that person might say. I'm afraid they may cut the coochie off. You understand what I'm saying? So I say yes against my will because I want to keep this fake relationship alive. You know, no. I used to think when people told me no that they didn't like me. They hated me. I was less than, or I was being rejected. Like you walk across the floor, and the girl can see you walk across, so she know you got a low self-esteem. She know the way you walk that you ain't shit. And in my mind, I'm thinking this. And already I'm saying, she going to say no. She going to say no. So I go over there and I say, you don't want to dance, do you? And she says, nope. And then I walk my ass back with my head between my legs. You know, so no always had a negative connotation with me. You know, so a lot of times I won't ask because I'm afraid. that the person will say no. You know? And a lot of times that's been real good for me, but it's been real bad. Because I came in here, I didn't know shit about recovery. And I wanted to ask a sponsor. I wanted to ask the guy to be my sponsor. And they say, don't get a friend. So, you know, I got this Jewish guy because I didn't like Jews at the time. So I said, he'd be an ideal guy for a sponsor. So I went over there and I was so afraid he was going to say no. And he had 4 years clean. I won those 4 years. And I walked over there and I said, Ambien, huh? He said, what? I said, hey, Ambien, huh?
He said, what?
I said, will you be my sponsor? He said, yeah, I'd be honored to be your sponsor. And he hugged me, you know? But I was so afraid he would say no. You know, because all my life people have been saying no to me. All my life. And today, what I found out, that I never have to be alone in Narcotics Anonymous. And if I need help, if I don't know, it's all right not to know. It's all right to ask for help here. You know, we got people to stay clean. My sponsor got 20 years clean. And I want those 20 years. I'm not jealous of those 20 years. I want them. And I can't be jealous. I need to get my own. You know what I'm saying? And when you go to the dance, nobody will say no to you. And that's so refreshing. Especially if you were a guy like me when you were young, everybody said no. Nobody in the dance. And the guys back in the back, they say, let's go to the dance. But what I'm saying, man, it's all in the idea of recovery. And I'm just glad to be here. I always wanted to come up here and just share a little experience, strength, and hope. So yesterday, I waited for no shows. But everybody showed up. You know what I'm saying? So I said, oh, shit. You know, and then when you guys say, come on up here and talk about no saying no. You know when you're out in the car and you're hiding heavy in the hands of an octopus and she said no? She really means no. You know, and the law really taught me that. You know what I mean? The law taught me that no means no. See, and today what I can do in a relationship, I can be friends with a woman. I learned that right here. I can hug a woman and not try to grind her, you know? That's monumental growth for me. I'm just so glad to be here. If you're struggling with this program, like I struggled with it for so many years, it wasn't a program. I don't want to hold you hostage, you know? I don't want to hold you hostage. My sponsor said that God will give you the cue when to shut up. You'll feel it. Like the young lady was saying about God. Well, God never talks to me. We don't ever talk about playing, you know, golf and nothing like that. But when I do the right thing, I feel it right in my gut. When I do the wrong thing, I feel it in my head. God never tells me it's right or wrong, but there's a feeling that I get. And a lot of times he put people in front of me. But, you know, when God starts talking to me, they call that shit schizophrenic. You know, you might need medications for that. But I have a gut feeling. And he put me in rooms like this. I know when to do the right, when I'm doing the right thing, when I'm doing the wrong thing. Almost definitely always when I'm asking a woman here in this convention for a telephone number, the wrong shit is headed, you know. But I can be a friend today, but I don't push it. If the number comes out, fine. And I can be a friend today. I'm glad to be in. If you're struggling with this program like I struggle with it, it wasn't a program that I was struggling with. It was things deep down inside me that I just didn't want to let go of. Some of this shit I didn't know how to let go, and some of it I just refused to let go of. You know, like Louis de Luster and shit like that. And I held on to things, and I held on to things till the pain got so overbearing. Trust me, the pain will get overbearing when you hold on to shit. And I had no alternative but either let it go or go out and get high. This program taught me how to let go of things. I'm just so glad to be here. I'm having such a great time. Glad to be here. Thanks for listening.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. Are there any burning desires anybody think they're going to use? If not, I'd like to thank all y'all for coming to the meeting. Have a good convention. Enjoy.
Thank you.